Emmanuel, of course, means God is with us. And that is so much of what the whole Paschal mystery is about. The birth, suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ and the sending of the Spirit. And it's all about God with us. So God intervenes into our normal life. And a lot of that is filled with joy and anticipation, but sometimes it's inconvenient. And so Ahaz, the king of Israel in the line of David, at a time when he doesn't want to be bothered by God because he has his own mind made up already, and the prophet comes and tells him, God is going to give you a sign. And he says, oh, I don't want to tempt God. You know, in other words, I don't want to hear a sign from God. But God gives it to him anyway. And it changes things. And God comes to Joseph in a dream, and he upsets his life, because from then on, Joseph is not going to live the nice, quiet life that he lived in Nazareth. And of course, that was his intention. And the same with Mary. You know, they were poor people from Nazareth, and they were probably both from the line of David. But if you were from the line of David and you weren't in power, it was a kind of a dangerous thing to be, because you were threatening to other people. And we see that again in Matthew's gospel, where when King Herod finds out from the Magi that he's looking for the newborn king of Israel, in other words, from the line of David, he goes on a rampage and has all the male children 2 years old and younger killed. There's a reason that Mary and Joseph and their whole clan have moved into the quiet little town of Nazareth, far from Jerusalem, because it was dangerous to be from the line of David and not in power. So they've got this quiet life planned, and then everything gets disrupted by God entering into their lives. Mary's life is changed forever. So is Joseph's. So is ours. Baptism celebrates the fact that while our parents may have had a quiet life planned for us, while our parents may have had success in worldly terms prepared for us, a good education, a good job, a nice house, things comfortable and working along the lines of the rest of the culture, and then God disrupts our lives by converting us to something otherworldly. And we struggle with that. And we push that away just like Ahaz. And it's understandable. But one of the reasons we sign ourselves in that baptismal water every time we enter the church is because God just never stops confronting us. God never stops asking us, are you living up to your baptismal promises? Was this real, this conversion? Are you allowing me into your life? Are you going to allow me to control your life? Or do you have your own plans? And we all do. And so it's a kind of a give and take. It's a bit of a struggle. Paul, in that letter to the Romans, uses the word apostle several times. He refers to Jesus as an apostle. He refers to himself as an apostle. And he tells the Christians in Rome that they are apostles. Now, this is a kind of a strange title for Jesus, because normally we think of Christ as being the one who sends apostles. Apostle means one sent. But there are certain parts of the Christian tradition that have often called Jesus the apostle. Why? Because he's been sent by the Father. He's the apostle of God, sent into the world to intrude into our lives, to give us what he calls good news that we sometimes call bad news. And he's breathed his own spirit into us so that we would be apostles too, that we would allow ourselves to be sent. And when you get sent, you also get spent. You end up losing a lot. You end up losing a lot of your own control, losing a lot of your own plans, losing a lot of what the world values so that you could take on something of God. Now, this intrusion of God into our lives we call incarnation. It's the birth of Jesus in the body of Mary. It's the intrusion into her life and Joseph's, but it's also the intrusion into ours. And, you know, God, who is the author of the cosmos, and, you know, science, the more we study science and we realize the vastness of this universe, it's almost beyond comprehension. And yet God holds all of that in his hand, in his heart, in his mind. God is the author of it all, and yet God comes into me. The vastness, the infinity of God, and yet the intimacy of God is almost more than we can take. And so we have a tendency to push it away and say, well, that's for holy people. That's for priests and nuns. That's for professionals. I'm just me. And Jesus would gently say to us, in the same way that I came into the humble virgin, I'm coming into you. And then finally, the first reading and the gospel both have to do with the Virgin Mary. The virgin shall conceive and bear a child. And we have to fully understand the scriptural context here. We have to let go of our modern Western cultural idea of virginity. We think of it in terms of sexuality. But it's so much more than that. In biblical terms, virginity is originality, it's uniqueness. So Adam and Eve were virgins in the sense that they were the first human beings. Humanity never existed before them, so it's virginal. In Mary, she's the only one in human history who was ever conceived without original sin. It's virginal, it's original, it's unique. And she is called to accept that uniqueness that makes her different and misunderstood and causes seven sorrows, and at least the ones we can count. But, you know, a life of sorrow, a life of struggle that she quietly, obediently accepts, even though she fully doesn't understand it. And Joseph doesn't understand the whole mystery of what he's taking on, but he quietly acquiesces. And it's virginal. No one has ever been asked to do what Joseph was asked to do. The gift of God into our lives is always virginal. Because despite the fact that God holds every human being in history in his heart, he never came into any of them exactly the same way he came into me. And my response, my gift back to God, is virginal, because nobody ever responded to God's call in exactly the same way that I do. Because each of us is unique. God has made us that way. And so we spend our lives reflecting in prayer and opening our hearts and our minds to determine what that particular response is. How am I called to be an apostle? How am I sent by God? In what way do I receive his grace and his love into my body, into my life? You know, in a few minutes we're all gonna consume. We're gonna eat and drink of God, and it's gonna be virginal because it's not the same as the last time we did it. And it's not the same as everybody else in the room. There's something always virginal and unique and original about the way God enters into us. And so it isn't for us to understand any more than Mary or Joseph did. It's for us to embrace, to accept, and just immerse ourselves in the mystery. And God will take care of the rest.